Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too. I'm excited to be all a little mad here.
Yes, and some of us are a little more mad than others.
Yes.
Next, we have Pete. Pete, where's your twin?
Guys, I haven't slept in like 3 days. You got to tell me, why is a raven like a writing desk?
Did they ever give the answer to that?
No.
They don't. So
that's why I haven't slept in 3 days.
Steve, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. Happy unbirthday to all of you.
Yes, happy unbirthday to everyone. Birthday.
It's not my wife's unbirthday today.
Well, sorry for her.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you're not, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. We're going to be doing some new releases. We're still going to be looking at the vault some, and we've got, you know, just going to be a wide variety. So, but for this week, we went back 75 years to Alice in Wonderland. And sometimes it felt that's like how long the movie was. It wasn't Marvel, so, you know, it wasn't quite there. But, Alice in Wonderland, little girl Alice follows the white rabbit down a tree, through a tree stump. It's actually not really a rabbit hole, but through like a tree stump, and gets into all sorts of different adventures. It is a Disney classic. If you have not watched it ever, if you've never seen it, go watch it once, is my initial reaction. Just so, because there are so many references in the parks and in parades and in other things that if you are not familiar with at least some of the main characters that we'll talk about in this, it's worth seeing once just to, so you have that point of reference. Okay. So, I'm not going to get into the plot on this at all just because I think we kind of mostly know it, but what from this felt like an unbirthday present? What worked in this movie, Pete?
So I thought many of the individual sequences were entertaining. I enjoyed her falling down the rabbit hole. I enjoyed the Mad Hatter and the March Hare when she would like grow and shrink in Rabbit's house, and Rabbit's like, oh no, there's a monster in my house. So there were a lot of scenes that I did enjoy. And then I also got to call out, her name's in the list, but pretty big influence on this, Mary Blair. But just in general, the Disney animators did a really nice job with the style of this movie. It's very colorful, a lot of good characterization, really I hate to say it, a wonder to look at. Apologize.
That was good.
Steve. Okay. Steve?
I would say, like, some of the animation, realizing that it was actually hand-drawn, like the card scene when she first goes up to meet the Queen of Hearts with all the moving cards, very, very impressive. Especially for Disneyland, some of the music, which is such a part of the background, especially when you're in fantasy land, of like the Unhappy Birthday to Me, that very classic music that stands out. I'd say for the movie, not memorable in that sense, but when you hear it, you went, oh, okay, now I understand where it comes from in the park.
One that hit me, Steve, was after we're painting the roses red, it was like we're painting the roses red, and then there was like a little interlude there that is always playing in Fantasyland.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
For me, it's the voice cast of this. I think this was actually one of the first times that they actually recognized the voice actors on screen. I don't think it was necessarily the first, but it was one of the first times. And it is a who's who of Disney voices. I mean, you've got Sterling Holloway, you've got Edwin, you've got Jerry Colonna, you've got, it was the Queen, Fairy Godmother. I'm blanking on the name.
Oh, at her birthday.
Yeah, it was recently.
This came up.
It's she was Flora. she's help Steve.
I'm looking it up
for me. Yeah. but you had the voice of Alice is also the voice of Wendy. You have the voice of her sister is also Mrs. Darling. I mean, this was 1950s Disney voices.
Yeah.
Which work. And I was
Smee was in there.
What?
Smee was in there, maybe.
Verna Felton.
Verna Felton, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, the voice of Smee was in there. It's just so many great voices that you go, oh, I recognize that voice.
Oh, oh. Yeah, and the walrus was Colonel Hathi from the Jungle Book.
Yes, he was.
I mean, much the, later.
Okay,
but
the walrus?
J. Pat O'Malley.
No. Yeah. He also did, now the walrus also did the Carpenter, also did Tweedledee, also did Tweedledum. So he basically voiced that segment. Which,
that whole segment, wow. Yeah.
We will get to some of those segments here after a little bit. But for me, what worked the best was the voices. Just, I cannot think of a voice that was wrong in this. I mean, the voice of the Dormouse was actually the guy who was the second voice of Mickey Mouse for years. It was not Mickey's voice, but it was the same guy who did it. So, Kate, what else worked for you? Anything?
Well, Pete kind of took mine of like some of the sections worked. Like the Mad Hatter section worked. The, I didn't really like it, but the section where they were playing croquet worked. Like, or the caterpillar section. They each had like different sections. And I will say this as someone, I have never done drugs. I've never done LSD or meth of any kind. But I feel like if you wanted to know what a trip like that would be like, watch this movie.
And a fairly bad trip at that.
Yeah. So the music, I felt, did add to it. It added a whimsy, because that's what this entire movie is, right? It's just straight, oh, you want it to make sense? No, we're going to make it not make sense. I mean, I think, Pete, one of you said... Derek, it's when you said, I'm not going to do a storyline. And Pete was like, you're not? And I was like, because there
isn't
a story. I mean, there is of Alice, like, trying to find the white rabbit. And then Alice trying to get home, sort of. But there isn't really a great storyline. So, but I think a lot of the side characters made this work. I'm going to put a caveat on that and talk about it after our next question.
Okay. So if that's what worked, what should have lost its head? And I'm going to start this one just because I can. When there are 13 people listed in the story development section, you know you have a problem. This was actually started being developed in the... Actually, okay, Walt's done Alice stuff even back in Kansas City. That was the old laughogram that brought him to Hollywood, was the Alice comedies. And so he wanted to do Alice in Wonderland. Well, they started in 1939, and then he didn't really like it. So then they got to like 41, and then the war hit. And then they were only allowed to make features of stuff that had started before the war, and so they kind of snuck this one in, which didn't really work because it cost $3 million to make it. Only brought in 2.5 in their initial run.
This didn't come out till 51, though, so it took them a long time to...
Because they were having to, do all the shorts and the package films and all that, and Walt didn't like the story at all. Because, as Kate said, there wasn't a story. So, to me, that's the biggest problem on this is... And it reminds me if Mary Poppins had been done very, very poorly. If Mary Poppins had been done with no editing. Because all we talked about how that was a segmented movie. This is very much, you could tell every segment had a different director and a different writer and a different idea on how things should go.
Yeah.
So that was my biggest complaint. Kate?
Everybody's mean in this movie. Everybody is mean in
this movie.
Even
Alice.
Yeah, like, yes. Everybody is mean and everybody's angry at some point. I am not surprised that this was not a movie I liked as a kid. Excuse me, because everybody's mean, everybody's yelling, everybody, like, makes fun of Alice's face and her clothes and her hair and, like, just makes fun of Alice. Everybody's mean. You know, Derek, you just said that this was like Mary Poppins. I saw this as like an LSD version of The Wizard of Oz.
Same thing. Same thing.
Like,
and actually, yeah, because Wizard of Oz was more what? Heroin? Isn't that what L. Frank Baum did?
yes, but yeah, it just, everyone is mean. No one's really like rude, like nice to Alice or helping, and Alice is also not very nice. Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that put me off. Like, even like the little, like the umbrella birds that are like, we're umbrellas and we're birds, and then Alice is like, can I ask you a question? And they're like, oh, you're not allowed to see us like being happy and nice. Now we're gonna turn into like scary birds. So yeah, that's what I'll leave it off at. Pete?
I think it was Gertrude Stein that said there's no there there.
Uh-huh. And that's this movie.
This movie is a bunch of scenes without a plot or really any characters.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's just a bunch of craziness. And it, as I said, it worked. Like, I think it worked better. Probably like most of my memories of this is in childhood is from clips on the Wonderful World of Disney, where if you saw 5 minute, 10 minute segments of this movie, you'd be like, oh, that's really funny. Ha ha ha. But when you sit down and watch the entire thing, a lot of stuff happens, but none of it's of any consequence. And it's, you know, it's just a lot of images being thrown at you. And so I don't feel like there's like no heart to it. Like, you think about the real classic Disney movies and you're like, you really like, you know, feel for a character, like there's a character you identify with or something like that. And there's just no care. I mean, as you said, even Alice doesn't have really a personality or anything. She's just a little girl that's wandering through this all. And, you know, sometimes she gets really upset by things and other times she's like, oh, well, I don't know. So I don't know. It's, it's got problems. Steve?
Basically I agree with everything that everyone said. Like, didn't care, Alice, I didn't care if she got home or not. Yeah, very disjointed. Has anyone actually read the books? I haven't.
No. I think I did. I think I did a long time ago.
So in some ways, the movie is faithful to it, but it Lewis Carroll was very interested in wordplay. And so it sands off a lot of the more intricate wordplay.
Like the Jabberwock is not in here.
Yeah, that I think made the book more interesting to adults.
I feel like that in the Tea Party with all the quick words and the sight gags.
Yeah, I mean, there's lines that are from, there's stuff in there that's from directly from the book. Yes. I mean, I made the joke about why is a raven like a writing desk? That is from Lewis Carroll's right. Original text. And again, he doesn't answer the question. So, you know, that's part of the humor of it, right? And I think it works better as a book because of all the wordplay and everything, you're reading it. And I think it's not a great story. So you run into what you get here. I mean, yep. A lot of versions of Alice in Wonderland have the same problem, right? Because
I will say, of the Disney versions of Alice in Wonderland, this is possible. Okay, other than the Mickey Through the Looking Glass, which is benefited because it's short, this has fewer problems than the live action one did.
Are you talking the Johnny Depp one?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. But I would say, I mean,
that wasn't very good either, though.
Yeah.
No, but it was, this was better than that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah. But they have classic characters. I mean, at least for Disneyland, you always see Alice and the Mad Hatter in Fantasyland. They're probably the most common characters that are out in that section. So you always see them out.
Okay. And I mean, and yeah. Mad Hatter may be the best meet and greet character in Walt Disney World. Because
I've seen Disneyland when he's out, he's very playful in the wordplay. And
yeah, I mean, you gotta get a sharp guy, but yeah, it's can be a very entertaining character. I've had some very entertaining interactions with the Mad Hatter for the years.
I asked a friend of mine who was very good friends with the Mad Hatter this while I was watching the movie. I texted him and was like, "Hey, was there anything that you or Alice weren't allowed to say from this movie? Because there were some things that I was like, that could be problematic." And there, like, that is something that in a lot of Disney movies, a lot of face characters will be told, like, don't say this, don't say that, whatever. And he said, no, not, there wasn't anything specifically said. However, we tended to steer away from the drugs and murder. I was like, that's probably good. But I will agree that Mad Hatter, because of the whimsy, they can say a lot of just insane things and get away with it. Yeah. So
now I will say that I actually did a little researching. Lewis Carroll was not on drugs when he wrote this, because honestly, a lot of those psychedelics hadn't made their way. The opium hadn't made its way all the way back to England quite yet.
Got it.
But basically it was a literary exercise in absurdity. And he even said it's designed basically for to show how kids think how screwed up an adult and how absurd the adult world is. So that was his idea behind it.
Yeah, it's much too clever to have been done on
accident
drugs.
Oh, and on heavy drugs, yeah. So, okay. So we've talked about, you know, all the different characters, we've talked about all the different sections. So I'm going to throw this one out there. Who is the best side character? Translation, who is the best character that is not Alice? Okay. That's my definition of a side character, because the longest one she interacts with is either the White Rabbit or the Queen, are probably the two she interacts with most. Okay, maybe the Dodo, but still, who is the best side character in this show? Kate.
I have two, but I'm only going to give one at first. I don't think anyone's going to say the second one, so I'll say my first one first. I'm a Cheshire Cat girl. The Cheshire Cat, it was between Cheshire Cat and Mad Hatter. I don't think Marge Hare is as great as Mad Hatter, personally. I don't really know why, but just, I laughed out loud in a movie that I felt stoned the entire time. For a girl who's never really been stoned, I can only imagine. The part when Alice goes and he's like, "Oh, are you looking for the White Rabbit?" And she's like, "The rabbit." And then she's like, "Yes." And he goes, "Yes, what? I'm looking for the rabbit." "What rabbit?" I just, for some reason, that banter reminded me, it made me laugh, but it also reminded me of in the Winnie the Pooh movie when they're like, "I cannot not. You can't, you cannot not."
Yeah, that scene, there.
Just made me laugh. Plus, I love the smile of the Cheshire Cat. I love the whimsy of the Cheshire Cat. I love the chaos of the Cheshire Cat. Like, he's like, "Oh, you don't want me to open this door, throw this grenade, close the door, and then walk away? Okay." Like, I just, yeah, Cheshire Cat for me. Go ahead, Pete.
I think I'm going to pick one that no one else is. I really like the king, the queen of, you know, the queen of hearts is there being all like, "Rah!" And she's like, he's like, "Yes, dear. Well, don't you think maybe there should be a trial, dear?" I got the biggest kick out of him. Yeah. Plus, I think I knew the movie was almost over. That probably helped. But
that helps.
But yeah, no, I thought he was a funny little character. I thought kind of everything he said, I got a little chuckle out of. So that's going to be my pick. Steve.
I'm about the Mad Hatter, especially when he's trying to fix the rabbit's watch. Just
yeah, that was pretty
because the pure just chaos of it all, and the rabbit like is totally losing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it just cracked me up. I mean, it reminds me of teaching sometimes when there's just pure chaos going on around you. So
yeah, definitely. Steve, can you do me a favor? Can you look up and see if Frank and Ollie worked on this movie or not?
Yes, I will do that.
Okay. Because they listed like 10 of the nine. I think they listed all the nine old men, but I couldn't remember if those two were on there or not. So for me, I'm going to go with one I can guarantee no one else would pick. For me, it's The Walrus and the Carpenter.
Oh, no.
Oh, I loved that section.
He ate the little oysters.
And they're tasty as heck.
Yeah.
But it's just to me, that was vintage Lewis Carroll wordplay. And I especially know how it goes. The time has come, the walrus said. Speak of me, and how it's when it says the walrus said, he's looking right at the camera.
Yeah.
that
seemed like the most straight out of the book.
It basically was straight out of the book.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why I liked it. Kate, I'm going to argue with this one. I couldn't stand the Cheshire Cat. I mean, he's the only one who somewhat helps Alice, but at the same time, he's a jerk.
He's a real jerk. Really is.
And
so, yes, now, they were both part there. So Frank, he was mainly animated the Queen of Hearts. Why do you see that? Focused on Alice and then the King of Hearts.
Okay. So, yes. Okay. So, if that means, so basically that means that the whole Queen of Hearts scene was those two guys, which makes total sense with all of the fight gags and everything in that. But the fact that it flowed and the fact that it actually moved well.
Yeah.
Makes sense that section was those two guys.
Okay. Yeah, so, can I tell my other two that I really liked.
Okay, no, you can say one more.
No, they're really fast. One of them was the lizard that was trying to figure out the monster in the house.
The second worst Cockney accent on television, on movies. But
and the other one is the dorm mouse, the teacup mouse. I loved the teacup mouse. So good. That's all.
Okay. I will argue, though, that Alice in Wonderland has one of the best movie-to-ride adaptations at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yes. Not the Tea Party. The Tea Party is just kind of meh. But
unless your kid spins you, then it's...
Well, yeah. The Alice in Wonderland ride at Disneyland is fantastic.
Yes.
And
they actually made it better when they, like, put some screens in.
Yes, yeah, it's great. I will say there are very few rides at Disneyland that are not as good as Disney World's or better, especially the Fantasyland dark rides, because Disneyland gets everything.
Yeah, they're the favorite child.
Although I honestly like Disney World's Small World better than Disneyland's Small World.
I will say this. As we've been watching through a lot of these old movies, because we watched Dumbo, we've watched Alice in Wonderland, we've watched Peter Pan, we've watched Snow White, we've watched a lot.
We have not watched Snow White.
We've watched a lot of the
older
original
ones.
Yeah. Bulk of Disney, right? It is when you go, and I can only speak for World, because I've only been to land once, I need to go again. I went a long time ago, I went with crappy people, anyway. Especially a world, so much is from those older movies. When you look or you think about parades, you've got the Tweedles, you've got Mad Hatter. Sometimes Marge Hare would come out. You've got Alice. You've got Peter Pan and Wendy. You've got, like, even in Festival of Fantasy Parade, there is an entire float dedicated to Dumbo. You've got Pinocchio. So much of the parks are geared toward these movies that we go back and we're watching. We're like, these aren't even good. can you imagine Disney without Alice in Wonderland? Can you imagine Disney without Peter Pan?
Without Alice in Wonderland is probably the easiest of any of them to imagine, because all I would do is just basically delete the teacups and I'd be fine.
But still, I mean,
to be perfectly honest,
even like the electrical parade, which was such a staple in Disney parade lore, you had the caterpillar, there was the caterpillar and there was the mushroom that she sat on top of.
Yeah. Well, so, there was also, though, that was where you got the turtle and the bee that went around and spun. That was part of the Alice section also.
Yeah. It's, and even like, I know you said the teacups are overrated, but that is such a staple Disney ride. When you think of Disneyland, when you think of Disney, the teacups is one staple ride.
It is.
Especially like if you watch a commercial for Disney, they're going to show the teacups at some point. Yeah. So it's just so interesting to me as someone who was so deeply worked for the company, eat, sleep, and breathe to Disney. How these movies that like Peter Pan, problematic. Alice in Wonderland, not great. Pinocchio, also not great. But if you were to take all of that out of Disney, Disney would lose something so beautiful and nostalgic about it.
Did we watch the animated Pinocchio, or was it just that terrible live action one?
No, I thought we watched both. I could be wrong.
I can't remember if we watched Pinocchio or not. There's not many of the old ones we have. We haven't done Snow White, which is amazing.
I'm waiting until next year when it's the 90th.
To
be perfectly honest, that's why we haven't done Snow White yet. Originally, it's because it's not an amazing movie. But anyway.
I might argue with that, but we'll save that for another show.
With that one.
Actually, I will agree. It's not an amazing movie.
So, anyway. Any other thoughts on Alice in Wonderland? Again, it's, as you said, okay, it's a Disney staple. It was on the second ever Disneyland TV show was a less than an hour version of Alice in Wonderland. So
I do agree with Kate, though. It feels like if you didn't have Alice in Wonderland in the parks, it wouldn't quite be right to not have that in the parks. And those old movies, you don't have really that much. I mean, you know, Bambi is barely there. Pinocchio is not really a time. I mean, in California, you got a dark ride, but like,
yeah.
It's more Dumbo and the teacups. When I think Fantasyland,
right.
those are the two rides I think.
Winnie the Pooh, Snow White. I think of those things, Peter Pan.
But I
don't know. I mean, it's, and still, in the end, it's kind of a classic, even though it isn't great.
Is it a classic just because it's been shown a lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes that's what makes a classic, is that it's just, you know.
Everyone knows it. And this goes to prove my point. A classic doesn't mean good.
Yeah, no,
I agree.
As we will see, as we get into our Cups Pixie Dust rating. So we do Cups Pixie Dust out of 5, 5 being the best. 4, Alice in Wonderland, 1951. Kate, how many cups of Pixie Dust are you giving this movie?
I'll give it a 2. And that's being so generous. It's between a 1.5 and a 2. I feel like because of the just incredibly iconic characters of the White Rabbit, not even Alice, the White Rabbit, the Cheshire Cat, the Mad Hatter, the Evil Queen. And I don't even like the Queen. I think she's probably in my least favorite of all of the secondary characters. It's between a 1.5 and a 2. I wish I could give it a 1.75, but I'll be kind and I'll give it a 2. Pete?
Yeah, I have a hard time with this too, because there's some sequences in this that I really, really like, but a lot of it I don't. So I'm going to go 2.5, even though it probably should be closer to two, but I'm giving it a little more credit than it deserves for having these iconic characters. Does that make
I would
sense?
Agree with you on that. You're giving it more credit than it deserves.
You know, actually, no, let me give it a 2.
Okay. Steve?
I'm like Pete. I'm between that 2 and 2.5 because there's some like scenes I really enjoyed and other scenes I don't want to see again, like the singing flowers. I'm going to go with 2. Like if I balance it out, it'd be a 2 overall.
And I'm going to be incredibly generous and go 1.5. Just
what happens when you like the ride so much better?
What?
What happens when you like the ride way better than the movie?
Well, again, there's probably 10 minutes of this that I would watch like somewhat normally. There's like I said, the wash section of the Mad Hatter scene, the croquet section, and the Walrus and the Carpenter. Other than that, I don't care if I never see sections of this again. So to me, it's a 1.5. It is not a good movie.
No. I think why the ride works is it distills the entire story down to like two minutes. And that's kind of all you need.
Yeah.
It gives you like the highlights.
Right. And it's like, here's the story.
You come out on the second floor and you go down, and that's what was kind of cool on all
right.
Right. So,
yeah.
Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Not a lot. Only one thing. Disney Princess, the ultimate concert, is going to be on Disney Plus on August 16th. No details on who is singing are available, but it's likely going to be the big names of the Disney Renaissance and after. Absolutely. Jodie Benson's going to be there. Susan Egan's going to be there.
Paige O'Hara.
Yeah. Paige O'Hara is going to be there. Yeah, it's going to be. I don't think.
Steve, do you have tickets to the actual
I
concert?
Do, but we're going to actually miss out because you have to be in the park that morning to get a virtual queue, and we'll be flying in that evening. So Susan Egan will be there. She's one of the Disney legends this year.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it's actually going to be on the 13th.
Yeah.
At Disneyland, and then they're going to have it on Disney Plus on the 16th. So once D23 is over, still no word on any kind of broadcast or rebroadcast of the parks panel, but I would not be shocked if they don't do. I would be shocked. I don't know. I would be kind of shocked if they don't have some way for people to watch it, either in retrospect. But
I would have said that, but they didn't last 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know. I don't know why they don't.
Yeah. But anyway, if they don't, I'm going to be doing, at least I, probably these guys too, are going to be doing a live broadcast as it's going on with our own on the spot reporter sending us the messages of what happens as it happens. So that's coming up August 15th. That's a Saturday. It will be late because it's 7 p.m. West Coast time. But I got nowhere better to be. Okay, actually, I do better places to be the next day. But I'm going to do it anyway because, you know, I'd be up for it anyway. So, okay, next week, we're going to look at something brand new. We're going to look at the miniseries Pompeii Out of Time. This is Tom Holland.
Kate looks excited. What? Yeah, Tom Holland.
You like Tom
I do.
Holland.
No, I other, know no, Tom
long
Holland.
Time. Long time. No. Hiddleston.
Oh, I like both of them.
The guy who played Loki. No, Tom Holland. No, I saw The Odyssey. There's going to be a bonus review coming out here probably by the time this is out. That bonus review will be out of The Odyssey. And
ooh, I just bought my IMAX tickets.
Maybe you should watch my review first. Anyway, I have things to say. So, Pompeii Out of Time, it's a 3-night miniseries. 1-hour episodes each night, and it's going to he's going to be following people through the before and the during of the Pompeii eruption. So Disney's been pushing this hard. There's a lot of press out there for it, and we're going to be watching it for next week. But if you have suggestions of what you do want us to watch, please send us emails at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us messages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere. We answer any message we get, any email we get. We have new episodes Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. Real quick, I do want to jump in here. Any thoughts on the new Marvel trailer that came out?
I've not seen it yet.
Very meh.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's. Remember how I said, you know, it feels like Marvel's doing anything they can to grasp and stay relevant, which is why they cast Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom. They jump the shark even farther in this one. It's like, remember all these people? Remember how much you liked all these people? Right. Well, they're going to be in this new one too.
That's what it was. It's 2.5 minutes of, hey, remember that guy? Hey, remember her? Hey, remember that guy? He's here too.
Okay, now Pete. Did I see Avatar people in it?
No, those are the Namor, the blue people from Atlantis, from the second Black Panther movie, Namor and the Atlanteans. Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. But
Namor's in there too.
Okay, cool. So anyway.
There's so many people in there that you have to actually pause the movie and look at people on the edges of it to see that there are people in it.
Because there's certain so people many that we have not seen yet. Like, I can guarantee, like, at some point, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine will show up.
Oh, you would think so, but he's
the only one that comes back in Secret Wars and ends up saving everybody. Kind of like Captain Marvel did in Doomsday.
That could be.
Or Endgame.
Yeah.
Which I'm very, very nervous about what the end. There's apparently going to be, when they re-release Endgame, they're going to, it's going to be a new end credit scene that will tie and some new small scenes stuck in that will make it tie directly into Doomsday.
I
hate.
I was thinking yesterday, like, how far we've come from Endgame coming out and being like, this is the most amazing thing ever, to this trailer and being like, ugh.
Part of it is Marvel saturation over the last several years.
Yeah, it's...
And Marvel saturation.
Right. It's twofold. It's too much Marvel and too much bad Marvel. And I actually, you can go on Disney Plus and you can look at, oh, here's the Infinity Saga and here's the, you know, the Multiverse Saga, I guess they call this. And if you look through all the Multiverse Saga stuff, there's some good stuff in there. You know, I was looking through and I was like, oh yeah, Moon Knight, that was good. And such, that was good. I enjoyed that.
From what I've heard, Moon Knight's not in this.
But what I'm saying is, but then as you're going through it, you go, well, that sucked, and that sucked, and that sucked. And like the original.
And it's been 7 years since that was good. And.
Right. So there's too much bad stuff that they've been putting out lately. Overall, I said it's been kind of like a 50-50 mix. And the original Infinity Saga, there was like one or two that were. I know you're the wrong person to talk to on this, but I would say.
I mean, really, I would agree. There's only a couple that are just horrible.
Yeah, in the original Infinity Saga.
Right.
And then since then, it's like there's a lot of genuinely bad stuff. And
it's like,
so
it's all running about here. Then there's like a small peak, and there's a small peak. And there's actually, it's part of the problem is it started way up here. Because the first thing after Endgame was WandaVision.
Yeah.
So, which I'm still anxious for. We're supposed to get Vision Quest before Doomsday.
Yes, we are.
We still don't. Do we have a release date on that? It's on October sometime, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
I can look real quick. Yeah, Vision Quest comes out the 20th of October, which tells me it's going to lead up right to Doomsday. So, or maybe like a week or two in between. But it's just, and then the fact that Doomsday, you know, Doomsday is leading into Secret Wars because, and you know that, spoiler alert, Dr. Doom's going to win Doomsday.
Right.
I mean, shocker here. Because he has to create Battleverse or
Battle
something.
Battle World.
Which is, I think, the end End of Time one where everything that got clipped came to, but it's not everybody's that different. Character everywhere.
Yeah, it's not that different from The Void, which we've been seeing in like a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. So yeah, it's more. Anyway. I can't wait for the multiverse shenanigans to end.
Yeah, but then what do they do?
They're going back to X-Men is what they're saying.
Which means they're going to have to come in with all new X-Men.
That's the plan. All new X-Men
are way too old.
Yeah, no, that's the plan is reboot.
Oh, you come back and you rewrite history. It resets. Yeah.
It's just going to be a different Earth.
Yeah. I don't know.
So anyway, well, what they do is that they're smart. At the end of In the Secret Wars, they introduce the new ones of these characters and the kind of as a passing of the torch type thing.
I don't know what I want, but I don't see the
quote Young Avengers come in. None of them are young anymore.
Yeah. I guess I do want to see the Young Avengers. I'm more interested in them than seeing more of Steve Rogers. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been on the moon though, Kate. You're going to be disappointed.
he's been making babies, which I think is actually a big part of the problem. Because from what I've heard, it's basically Dr. Doom going around and kidnapping everybody's kids.
That's the implications.
And that Steve Rogers going back in time opened all this up. So, yeah.
Which, it's all your fault, Steve. Oh, sorry, Steve. Not you, Steve.
No, I'll go with this, Steve. Yeah, Steve, okay. Come on.
It's all my fault.
We're going back in time. So, anyway. Guys, we will see everyone next week. Kate, Steve, Pete, Steve, Gina, we love you. We miss you. We'll see you next week and the rest of you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.